Well, good morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm glad that you're here. Our passion at Northridge is to help you connect into the body of Christ. And so, like Joel already mentioned, I want to encourage you to fill out the connection card and just bring that back to the information table. We want to get to know you. We want to be a part of our family, and we want to have an influence in your life so that you can grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So the first step in that process is to fill out that card and bring it back to the information table. We're in the middle of the second week of our message series called Home Builders. And remember, last week we looked at the cost of discipleship and how it relates to the family, or how it relates to you being a disciple who disciples your family so that you can pass on a spiritual legacy to your children and hopefully to your grandchildren so that they can continue to pass that along as well. Today we're going to look at something that I think we all need, and that's called breathing room, and how that can help us as a family in the goal and the purpose of being a disciple who disciples our family so that we can pass on that spiritual legacy. Now, in my house in Eldridge here, we have a crawl space. And I don't know if most of you have a crawl space in your house, but our crawl space is incredibly organized. And it's not because of the gifts that I have. It's because of my wife, Nancy. But our crawl space is filled with, like, all of those Rubbermaid bins. And we have all of our stuff neatly placed in there. And the reason I mentioned that is because I have about six of those that are filled with my books. Old books that I used to have in seminary. Old books that I used when I first started in ministry. Books that I don't really refer to as much. And to be quite honest with you, now I've got Kindle. So a lot of the books that I get on my Kindle, and I can take that wherever I go. It saves a lot of space. Right? I don't have a lot of space in my office for bookshelves, and so I've kind of combined a lot of those into my Kindle, and I save a lot of them in my crawl space. And from time to time, you never know when you're going to need one of those old books, right? So that's why I save them. Well, a few months ago, I thought, while I was preparing a message, I thought about a book that I had, but it wasn't on my shelf, so I thought, it's got to be in the crawl space. So in the middle of the night, I thought, yeah, that's right. I think it's down there. So about 8, 9 o'clock at night, I go down into the crawl space, and I crawl in there, and I turn on the light. And, of course, since my books I don't use a lot, they're in the middle of the crawl space. So I've got to go way in there, and I take one of the bins off of the other one, and I put it in the middle of the only narrow walkway that we have, and I open it up, and I start looking through there. I'm like, man, this is like looking for a needle in a haystack. Not a lot of space. I don't know if I'm going to find this book. I couldn't find it in the first bin, so I backed up to grab the second bin. And as I backed up, I heard a pop. And all of a sudden, it got dark. And I thought to myself, oh, great, way to go. So I'm backing up, trying to get out of the spot so that I can clean up the mess that I just made. And somehow, because it was dark, I forgot I was in the crawl space. And so I picked my head up and I banged it on the floor joist. And just as I was doing that, I remembered that I was wearing shorts and didn't have socks on. And I had to crawl back over the light bulb that I just broke. And I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? I feel stuck. Have you ever felt like that? Life can be a lot like a crawl space sometimes, right? Where we feel like everything is closing in on us. And, you know, we have a purpose. We're trying to do something, and it just feels like we're stuck in the middle of this room, and everything is squeezing in on us, and all of a sudden the lights go out, and we bang our head, and we're wondering, how am I going to get out of here without, like, cutting myself on the glass? Life can squeeze us. And a lot of times, if we're really honest, we kind of do that to ourselves, don't we? We make life so busy that at times it can feel like we're crammed into this little crawl space and life is squeezing us. What do we do? Well, I don't know about you, but my life can sometimes feel like a NASCAR race. Going about 200 miles an hour, 2 inches away from the bumper, from the guy in front of us. This isn't the way I drive, okay? This is just an example of my life. One wrong move, and we crash, and we lose the race. We lose our focus. Life can be crazy. How often do we do that? How often do we just stop and take a deep breath and relax? See, I think if you're at all like me, it's very difficult to stop and be still before God. Because a lot of times when we stop and when we're quiet, it gets kind of scary, doesn't it? We start thinking about all the things that we have to do. We start thinking about all the things that we've done wrong that we need to fix in our life. And so in order to avoid that, sometimes what do? We fill our lives with busyness. See, that way, if we're really, really busy, we don't have to slow down long enough to really think about those things. And because they scare us, we continue to make our lives busier and busier and busier so we don't have to deal with some of the junk in our life. We don't have to think about it. We don't want to stop long enough to really look at our lives. We need some breathing room. We need that quiet space in our life if we want to have healthy and growing spiritual lives. If we want to be disciples who disciple our children, then breathing room and quiet time, quiet space in our life is essential. Let me tell you a little bit about what breathing room is. Breathing room is kind of the space between our current pace, how fast we're going in life, and the edges or the limits of our life. You see, we all have limits in our life. Some of us can go at a faster pace and do things a lot more. Some of us can't. We all have our limits. But the problem is, a lot of us live our lives on the edge of that limit. We constantly bump up against that limit. And we wonder why things get so crazy and so hectic. Well, here's what happens when we constantly bump up against that edge in our life, that limit. Our stress level and anxiety level goes up. When our stress level and anxiety level goes up, what happens internally is we begin to focus on one or two things that we think are absolutely necessary for us to get done or to do. And in that process, what happens is all of the other important things that we have to do kind of get pushed aside. And unfortunately, a lot of times what we do is we focus on the one or two things that we have to do, guys, maybe for work, ladies, maybe for some of the things in the home. But what happens is we push away our relationships. And then we wonder, in the midst of everything that's going on, how come our relationships are so broken, so difficult? It's because in the attempt to get the most out of life, we actually lose control of our life. Don't you want that? Isn't that one of the reasons why we're busy? Why we're really striving and driving ourselves to get things done? Is because we want to get the most out of life. We don't want to miss out on something. In our pursuit of all of those things, in pursuit of trying to control everything in our life, we actually lose control of our life. Jesus said it this way in Luke 9. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Why do we do this? Why do we constantly drive ourselves and keep ourselves so busy? Why do we consistently live on the edge of life and wonder when the lights go out and when we bang our head how we're going to get out of it? How am I going to get myself out of this? Well, let's look at what Jesus has to say about it in Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. You can follow along. I hope you have your Bibles with you today. If not, you can follow along on the screen. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Then why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. So maybe you're asking yourself this morning, okay, Pastor Doug, what does this have to do with busyness? Isn't Jesus talking about worry? What does it have to do with the busyness and having breathing room in my life? Well, if you're honest with yourself and you go to the root of worry and anxiety in your life, you'll see that a lot of it has to do with our busyness. See, is our busyness driving us to create an attempt to maintain the schedule that we currently have? Is that the root of why we're so busy? You know, why are we driven to do or to attempt all of the things that we try to do? Isn't it fear? Isn't it that maybe, it's hard to admit, but just maybe the reason we're busy is because we're afraid if we don't do something, if we let go of something, then we're going to lose out or miss out. So what is it in your life? If you stop and take a moment to be quiet and to think and reflect about these things and assess your life, what is it that you're afraid of? What is it that causes your busyness? Maybe your thought process goes something like this. I can't work less hours because I'm afraid that if I don't do what I'm supposed to do at work, my boss won't give me the raise that I've been hoping for or the promotion that I've been looking for. Or, parents, maybe it goes something like this. I have to sign up my kids for that sporting event or that event because if they're not involved in something, I'm afraid that they're going to lose their friends, or I'm afraid that they might get involved in the wrong crowd. And because of that, you know, I'm at work all day long, and I'm afraid that if my kids are home alone, I don't know what they're going to do. So let's keep them busy and involved, and maybe it'll keep them out of trouble. Or how about this? We need to be a dual-income family. We need to both work because I'm afraid that if we don't both work, we're not going to be able to pay the bills or afford the things that we have or that we want. Or if we're really, really deep down honest with ourselves, I'm afraid that if I don't keep up my current pace, that I'm not going to look like everyone else around me. And if I don't look and act like the people that are around me, they might not want to hang around with me, and I'll be alone. And being alone scares us. So what are the fears and insecurities that drive your busyness? Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But most of the time, we don't stop long enough to think about it. It's easy for us to fall into the trap of equating busyness with feeling significant. see the danger of that is it has the potential to pull us away from what actually matters the most. See, I don't know about you, but in my busyness, what's the first thing that I normally cross off of my list of things to do? My quiet time. Spending time reading the Bible and praying and interacting with God. It's the first thing I cross off my list on a regular basis, and I'm sure you wrestle with the same thing. See, busyness has that tendency to just pull us away from God and what matters the most. So if we really want to be disciples, people who follow and learn from Jesus and pass along everything that we've learned from Jesus to our children and to our grandchildren, if we really are serious about doing that, we need to have some margin, some breathing room in our life. We can't keep up the current pace that we're on if we're serious about growing our faith. So, what would happen if we really took time out to honestly look at what's driving us towards busyness? In the passage that we read this morning, Jesus shares two cautions about worry and busyness and how they impact our breathing room. Here's the first one. The lack of breathing room is potentially a faith issue. But you never really thought about that, did you? That your busyness, the pace of your life, is actually a faith issue. Verse 30, Jesus says, "Why do you have so little faith?" See, when we worry or we're anxious or afraid, we're actually trusting more in ourselves. Aren't we people who want control? Right? I can do it myself. The things that I do impact my life. And so I'm going to take control of it, and I'm just going to keep doing things. And when we don't get the things done that we want to get done, we worry and we get anxious or we get afraid. And realistically, it's a faith issue. We're putting more faith and trust in ourselves than we are in Jesus. And so Jesus comes to us and he says, "Hey, be careful. This is actually a faith issue. Life is filled with trials and struggles. And a lot of times I feel like I try to be self-sufficient. I try to do them on my own. I try to handle things on my own. I try to be successful with my own effort." And Jesus comes to us and he says, "It might be a faith issue. Do you really trust in me?" He goes on to say this in verse 32. "These things, worry and fear, dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." Did you hear that when we read it initially? See, do you hear what Jesus is saying? Why are you worried? Why do you have all this anxiety and fear in your life? It's a faith issue. You see, if we have faith, then we trust that God, our Father, knows everything that we need and He will take care of it for us. So that control issue, instead of trying to take control of it ourselves, faith is all about giving God control. And instead of filling our lives with busyness and trying to control everything ourselves, it's a way of saying, "God, I trust you. I put my faith in you. And your promise and your word." Jesus says, "Hey, don't be like unbelievers who, you know, their minds are dominated by worry and fear. You shouldn't react that way if you're a believer." He says, "If you're a believer, you should know that your heavenly Father knows you. He knows everything that you need. Trust Him. Put your faith in Him." So, how is our need to drive ourselves to be busy all the time connected to our lack of faith and trust in Jesus? That's a tough question, isn't it? To really, if we really want to do something about it, we have to slow down long enough to ask that question of ourselves and really think about it. How is my busyness connected to my lack of faith and trust in God? And what would happen, how would things change in my life if I actually began to believe that God knows and cares for me and will give me what I need? So that's a challenge, the first challenge that Jesus gives us today. Trust Him. Put your faith in Him. He knows what you need. He wants to provide for you. He wants what's best for you and your life. You need to trust Him and stop trying to be self-sufficient. In order to live a life of faith and trust in Jesus, we have to find breathing room in our life. We have to find a sustainable pace and find time in our life to be with Jesus. Here's the second caution that Jesus gives us. The lack of breathing room is potentially a priority issue. Verse 33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all of these things will be added or given to you. Seek first. See, I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of times what I do is I give God my leftover time, right? If I have time at the end of the day, God, I'll read my Bible and pray. And you might even have, like, I'm serious. I'm going to do this, God. I'm going to do it today. I promise. And then what happens? All the busyness and the hectic part of life takes over. And all of a sudden, the end of the day comes around, and it's like, oh, man, I forgot all about that. That's why priority is important. That's why Jesus says to seek first the kingdom. My question is, like, how can we say that Jesus is really a priority in our life when we don't take time out to be with Him? See, you could tell what the priorities are in your life by looking at your calendar. The things that you invest the most time and money into are the things that are most important to you. Is Jesus really a priority in my life, or do I just say that? Now, that's one of the things we need to wrestle with. We need to create some breathing room in our lives if we're serious about building a relationship with Jesus. How can we pass on a spiritual legacy of faith to our children if we're empty? If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, how are we going to pass that on to our children? And how are they going to pass that on to their children? It just doesn't happen that way. And we can't squeeze Jesus out of our life if we're serious about passing it along. We live in a culture that provides us with the most powerful technology to keep us organized, right? I now have access to 5 or 6 different calendars right on my phone. You remember the days when you had to wait till you got home to look at the calendar on the refrigerator? Now, everywhere we go, we can look at our calendar. Right? We have our to-do list. We got our calendar. I've got my wife's calendar on there. I've got the church calendar on there. I can see everything that's going on with 4 or 5 different people if I want. And yet, what do? It really doesn't help me block out time for Jesus. I have to really make it a priority in my life. If I'm really serious about growing in my faith with Jesus, I have to block out that time and make it a priority. See, when God created the world, He gave us an example of how to block off part of our calendar. In Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3, it says this. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the 7th day, God finished the work of creation, so He rested from all of His work. And God blessed the 7th day and declared it holy, set apart, because it was the day when He rested from all of His work of creation. Even God rested once a week. Even God took time out of His calendar to take a break. Now, the question is, does God get tired? No, absolutely not. God did this to model it for us. He did that to show us that He cares about us. And it's important for us to block out one day a week. The Bible calls this day a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is God's principle for living a healthy and godly lifestyle. God knows that if we want to live at peak performance, if we want to be healthy, if we want to be functional as a healthy family, we need to take one day a week to rest and be replenished, refreshed, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. The best way to be replenished, refreshed physically is to rest. Being refreshed or replenished spiritually is also critically important if we want to be disciples who disciple our children. That's my passion. That's our passion here at Northridge. That's why we gather for worship. It's not just about seeing how many people we can get into a gym. It's about rest. It's about being refreshed and renewed, replenished physically, emotionally, spiritually. And God says that according to His math in the Bible, it's once a week. One out of seven. If you want to block out time, breathing room to be refreshed and renewed, it's one day a week. And God not only modeled that in creation, but He also commanded it. We read it this morning in Exodus 20. But He restated it this way in Leviticus 23, verse 3. You have 6 days when you can do all your work. But the seventh day of each week is holy, again, set apart, different, because it belongs to Me. No matter where you live, you must rest on the Sabbath day and come together for worship. This law will never change. You see, in the midst of a crazy, busy schedule and life, if we're really serious about building our family, if we're really serious about having a healthy, growing, spiritual family, then we really need to take time to block out time during the week, once a week, to rest and be refreshed emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Obviously, God thought it was important enough that He modeled it for us. Again, because He knows our needs. He created us. He knows what we need, and yet we don't listen to what He's called us to do. Jesus also makes a promise here. He says, when we make Him a priority in our lives, all these things will be given to us as well. In other words, all of the things that drive us to be busy, right? I got to do this and I got to do that because I've got to achieve this or that, or I want this or I want that. Jesus says, hey, look, if you take time out of your schedule, if you give yourself breathing room and take a Sabbath, it's about faith and priority. I'll take care of the rest because I love you. I care for you. I'll give you what you need. So, are we serious about building a healthy family? Are we serious about being Christians, believers, disciples who learn from Jesus and teach our children so that they can pass it along to their children and their children and their children? See, if that's going to happen, we need to make a decision. Are we going to live a healthy lifestyle? Are we going to listen to God's divine design? And take time once a week to rest, to be refreshed, to be renewed? Will we have the faith to make God, who designed the priority for our families, to take time off, to focus on Him? Or are we going to run ourselves ragged because of worry and fear and the desire to control everything ourselves? I thought about it this week. And I thought, let me see, is my plan better or is God's plan better? Really not much of a question, is it? It's obvious that God's plan is better. And yet when I look at my calendar, when I look at my schedule, I live like my plan is better. Why do I do that? Why do we do that? It's time to stop and realize that just maybe God's plan is better than mine. we're suffocating ourselves and our families with our busyness. It's time for us to create some breathing room into the life of our family so that we can disciple our family, so that they can disciple their children, and we can continue to pass on a spiritual legacy. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we know what's right. We know what you've called us to do, and yet a lot of times we just lose focus. So we pray that you would help us, Lord, to just create some margin, some breathing room in our life so that we can be still before you, so that we can have a relationship with you that is dynamic enough to pass on to our children, to our grandchildren. Help us to do that. Lord, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and we're so thankful for the freedom that we have and the people who have given their lives to provide that freedom. May we remember the blessing that we have been given as a gift and the cost that has been given to make that possible. So bless all of those families who have been impacted or lost loved ones, and help us to remember the gift that you've given to us in this country. Lord, we thank you too for the incredible gift of eternal life that you've given to us, that you came here and gave your life so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.